Welcome to the Warriors of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Warriors of Grace is about helping men from generation to generation become gospel men in private, in the home, in the church, and in public through the Word of God. Now for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, guys, well, welcome back to the Warriors of Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And on today's show, we're going to continue our reading the Bible personally and corporately with the church today, men, talking about the local church and the preaching of the Word of God. There was a man that I was working with one of the pastors at a church in Idaho I was at, and he said to me, "I don't need to hear the word preached on Sunday. I come for the fellowship." And there were significant issues in this man's life. And at the core of them is he didn't see the need for the corporate reading of God's word to be rightly preached. And so one of the pastors and I, we sought to come alongside of him. We sought to help him understand his need for the preached word of God. In seminary, I would sit at coffee shops in southern Idaho and with several large stacks of books and working on my seminary homework, and people would come up to me often and ask, "What are you studying?" And we would have all sorts of theological conversations day after day after day with all sorts of people. And then when I asked them, "Where do you go to church?" The number one answer that I would get is someplace over there on the corner at the coffee shop. You see, the Lord's day is to be participated in by every single Christian. J.I. Packer is right that the normal place for the Christian is a local church. You see, we've talked about, and we'll continue to talk about, how we need one another. We have a need for one another in the body, and that need is centered on the word that feeds us, that nourishes us. That means that we need to hear sermons that are rightly dividing the word of God. Now, there are many reasons why people stop going to church. I've experienced them all. Let me be honest. I've experienced spiritual abuse by pastors and ministry leaders, but I have never quit faithfully attending the local church during these seasons of life, but have continued with faithful church attendance unless I'm really sick each Lord's Day. I understand very well why some people feel there's hypocrisy in the church, but we don't sit under the word of God from perfect men. We sit under the word of, or to sit under the preached word of biblically qualified men. The qualifications for a male pastor and elder do not talk about a perfect man. There's only one perfect God-man, and that is the Lord Jesus. Even so, the biblical qualifications do matter. They're listed in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. These are Paul's expectations about what a normal Christian man is and what is to be expected of a Christian in regards to how they are to believe and how they are to live. We have walked through these extensively, actually several times now on this show. And so you can go back and listen to those and enjoy those podcasts, and they will no doubt help you and serve you. The thing that I want to camp on here very briefly in this episode is Jesus engaged in what is known today as expository preaching. That is, preaching the point of the text as the point of the sermon. Jesus' preaching involves the exposition of Scripture. When his ministry began in the synagogue of Nazareth in Luke 4, he started with a reading from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 61. Jesus' great bread of life sermon found in John 6, 32 through 59 involved the Bible's teaching on manna that came through Moses. Even though Jesus could impress his hearers by performing miracles, he still rested his authority of his teaching on the truth of the scriptures. This is why in, for example, in Matthew 7, 25 through 26, at the very end of his Sermon on the Mount message, the people recognized that he taught as one with authority, not as one like the scribes who taught their opinion of the law, their interpretation. Jesus' authority was, and of his teaching was based on and grounded in the truth of Scripture. So it's vital to say that we who teach the Bible today, if we want to preach with authority, we have to preach what the text says. And this can only come by faithfully preaching the Word of God. It is because of the authority of the Bible as God's revealed Word that the Puritan Thomas Watson could say, "In every sermon preached, God calls to you, and to refuse the message we bring is to refuse God himself." Well, preaching is vital to the health and to the growth of the local church. Jesus used Scripture to show us how we are to live our lives. He exercises teaching ministry to confront people who thought that they had it all figured out, and they really didn't. And he preached to crowds, and he called people to himself. Jesus did what the Puritans called dividing the audience between those who believe and those who did not believe. You see, the preaching of God's word can either soften our hearts or harden our hearts in unbelief. And one of the clearest signs of the Holy Spirit at work in the life of the Christian is a hunger and a thirst for God's word. Yes, as we've talked about in this series, you should be reading your Bible daily and studying it, but you should also be seeking to apply God's word into your life. And the same principle applies when hearing the sermon. It's not enough to just hear the sermon. That's a good first step. Now, heed it, apply it, obey it, put it into practice in your life. And then your heart will be soft before the Lord, and you will walk uprightly before the Lord. The faithful preaching of God's word helps us grow to be like Christ. It helps us to grow in the knowledge of the grace of God, of who God is, what he's like, what he commands us to do, the parameters of his mission, that is seeking the lost and making disciples for his glory. This is the reason why the argument, we don't need sermons anymore, because we've outgrown them, is the wrong take to have. We desperately need to sit under the preached ministry of God's word, faithfully and rightly divided. Preaching that considers the point of the passage as the point of the sermon. This teaching takes seriously what the Bible says, but it also applies the biblical principles and makes a beeline to the person and work of Jesus. Such preaching will either harden our hearts and or confirm our unbelief or soften them, bringing along with it the conviction of sin, repentance, and growth in godliness. And this is why preaching is essential to the Christian life. Let's also explore this connection between the Holy Spirit in prayer and the preaching of God's word by considering the ministry of Charles Spurgeon. In fact, exploring this subject between the Holy Spirit, prayer, and preaching is paradigm shifting. And while understanding the connection between preaching and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not new, it does need to be brought to the forefront for us as men. John Brodus, in his book on the preparation and delivery of sermons, stated that the ultimate requisite for the effective preacher is complete dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Brian Chappell teaches that the biblical description of the Spirit's work challenges all preachers to approach their task with a deep dependence upon the Spirit of God. Today, there is very little attention to the work of the Spirit and preaching today. Zachary Eswine says, "Spurgeon's intentional explicitness regarding the work of the Holy Spirit in preaching offers reasonable explanations into the deep caverns of intricacy which may enable an infant theology on the Holy Spirit to take more steps." In fact, Spurgeon believed that the Spirit of God was precious to the people of God and therefore ought to make the person and work of Jesus Christ the focal point of his preaching and his instruction to other Christians. So the biblical foundation for understanding the ministry of the Holy Spirit and preaching comes from John 14, 16 through 17. And you don't need to be a preacher or even a teacher of God's word to learn from this. All of us carry forth glad tidings of good news in the gospel to share. So this is applicable not only for those who preach, but also for all of us as Christians. Jesus in John 14, 16 through 17 identifies the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Dr. Heisler says that the Spirit of truth is sent by the Father at the request of the Son and indwells believers as a resident minister who guides believers into all truth. In John 16, 13, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as guiding Christians into biblical truth, saying, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will declare to you all of the scriptures. John, the scripture is Christ-centered. John 5:39 says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Luke 24, 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. John 20, 31, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. The Spirit is Christ-centered. John 14, 26, with the helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. John 15, 26 says, but when the helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. John 16, 13 through 14 says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Preaching is to be Christ-centered. 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Acts 28:31 says, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. 1 Corinthians 1:23 says, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. We preach by the Spirit's power. Charles Spurgeon understood the importance of preaching and the power of the Holy Spirit, which is why he says this, the gospel is preached in all and the ears of all. It comes with power to some. The power that is in the gospel does not lie in the eloquence of the preacher. Otherwise, we would be converters of souls. Nor does it lie in the preacher's learning. Otherwise, it would consist in the wisdom of men. We might preach till our tongues rotted, till we should exhaust our lungs and die, but never a soul would be converted unless there was a mysterious power going with it, the Holy Spirit changing the will of man. Oh, sirs, we might as well preach to stone walls as preach to humanity, unless the Holy Ghost be with the word to give it power to convert the soul. John Stott says that preachers must be humble in mind, submissive to the written word of God, have a godly, humble ambition, desiring an encounter to take place between Christ and his people, and a humble dependence relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. We must be faithful as Christians to the word of God and to lift up the glory of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Only in this way will the preacher know the truth he professes and be able to bear witness to the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, 2 Corinthians 4:12 gets to the heart of this explanation of why preachers and teachers and Christians must be surrendered wholly to the Lord when he says, so death is at work in us, but life in you. Stephen Smith says the challenge of preaching is to grow in the task while giving it away, being willing to die for people so they may live. Death to self is demanding, but necessary so that the preacher may become like Christ, who died so that his people may live. And furthermore, if preachers will not die to self, the people they minister to will not live. The pulpit is a place to present a translucent soul laid over the vicarious suffering of the Lord Jesus, modeling his sacrifice. In a letter to his friend, Robert Murray McShane says, "Remember, you are God's sword, his instrument, a trusted chosen vessel unto him to bear his name. In great measure, according to the purity and reflections of the instrument, will be the success. It is not great talents God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus. A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hands of God." Spurgeon's spirituality emerged from the Word of God. Raymond Brown says that his spirituality, speaking of Spurgeon, was a biblical spirituality. Spurgeon was a man deeply influenced by the Puritans, who, according to Lewis Drummond, said, believed in a disciplined spirituality, which to him meant the diligent, meditative study of Scripture. We need to understand that preaching is a high, it's a holy task that God's people have been called and commanded to engage in. Equipping people for a whole of life perspective centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. Expository preaching is central to the health and life of the local church. In fact, expository preaching aims to make the teaching of biblical text clear and to point people very clearly to the person and work of Jesus. We considered last week, the example of John Calvin leaving Geneva and coming back only to pick up where he had stopped preaching. You see, we need Bible preachers with the same focus and the intensity of Calvin in our day. During the Reformation, Calvin was one of the instruments the Lord used to bring Reformation to the church. Instead of the pulpit being central, the Catholic Church had made Mass central to the local church. We need men like Calvin today. Because today we have a great need for the pulpit to be central in the life of the church. There are all sorts of messages impacting the church, distracting it from its mission. From cultural accommodation to entertainment-based approaches to ministry, there's never been a greater need in the history of the church to focus our ministries on the Word of God. As preachers and its teachers, with growing challenges across the board, such as the prosperity gospel, the new apostolic reformation, biblical literacy, preachers have one aim and one goal, and that is to preach the whole counsel of God for God's glory alone. In John 17, 14 through 17, Jesus prayed for the church to be sanctified in truth. Jesus, he's not praying for a program to be established, but he's focusing on what's most critical, the Word of God. Jesus faced down people who sought to take people away from him. And so preachers, we must correct people in love. We must preach biblically. The Lord's sheep need protection and guidance on matters related to false teaching. That is going to require a spine and a backbone, along with biblical wisdom to speak to issues that are affecting the people of God. The need of our hour is not for timid men, weak-minded men, but for bold men, that we must be men who will bravely and unashamedly proclaim with a tear in our eye and with the grace of God from the Word of God, proclaim unashamedly the glory and the grace of God from the Word of God. Whether you are a pastor preaching every week, whether you are a Bible study leader teaching on a regular basis, men, or you're a blog writer, you're a podcaster, you're a book author, or you engage in any teaching function inside or outside the church, as men, we are to preach the Word. God calls us to lead in our homes. In fact, Paul charged the elders at Miletus in Acts 20, 27. It's instructive for us as Christian men who are tempted to accommodate on issues related to gender, sexuality, and a whole host of other topics. As Christians, we are not to compromise. We are to stand firm. We have been entrusted with the treasure of God's grace through Christ alone. We have been entrusted as stewards with the Word of God to declare in love to everyone that they might know and grow in the grace of God. Expository preaching is the most faithful way of preaching. That's because it's because we believe that the Bible is reliable and trustworthy, and it's reliable and it's sufficient for every area and every phase, and it's binding in our lives. We preach faithful sermons grounded in the Word of God. Expository preaching best articulates and best helps people learn to read, study, and interpret the Word rightly. Additionally, expository preaching alone addresses the significant issues of our day, including biblical illiteracy and false teaching. You see, faithfulness to Christ is what he demands as both pastors and church members, so that we can live together in community centered around his word. And it's through the preaching of the word that God, by his Spirit, forms a people who were once not his people and conforms them into the image and likeness of Jesus. It's not only principally through preaching, which is the fuel that God uses, but as we'll talk about next week, small groups studying the word where the word is being applied into the life of God's people. And see, you might think you have no need today as a man for the preaching of God's word, but you have every need. Even if you have a seminary degree, even if you've taught the Bible for years and years and years, personally, I just love, even though I'm a seminary educated Christian, a ministry leader, I just love to sit under a good sermon that exegetes the text, that lays out what does it mean? What does this author mean? And how does it point to Christ? And how does it intersect into my life? It may very well not have much to do with the sermon at all, but such sermons often get me thinking about a variety of topics and even about my own life. And this is why, I've heard other pastors say, you know, it might have nothing to do with my sermon at all, but God goes out and he uses his word. The good shepherd goes after his own. He convicts them. He comforts them. He instructs them through his preached word. The Holy Spirit is aiming to take the word that you hear and to apply it to your heart and to your life. So you and I, we have a need, an absolute necessity for our lives, for our growth in godliness, to sit under sermons that are centered on text of Scripture that then responsibly point us to Christ from that text and then help us to understand more of our mission, of how our lives are connected to the mission of God, of reaching the lost, to making disciples for God's glory alone. Well, I want to thank you for listening or watching this episode of the Warriors of Grace podcast. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Warriors of Grace podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you want to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or search Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find our show on the front page of the website servantsofgrace.org.